Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Hey, if you've suffered an injury in an accident and would like a free case review, make sure you call the super team at Daspit Law Firm. Free consultations are available 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. Dial 713-322-HURT. That's 713-322-HURT. Or you can go to the website, DaspitLaw.com.
Are you ready, kid?
Actually, I was doing more Astros talk than you were, dumbass orange toilet paper people, because I was with Charlie Palillo.
Do they sell that at HEB?
About, well, and Springleton and Jonathan Singleton's not up, and we have nothing to talk about, yet we're going to talk Astros baseball.
Hey, can I?
That's what it was every day, so I don't want to hear from those people.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
Do-do-do-do, Fabio Bangs.
803 ESPN 975. Apparently, you were angry at Astros fans.
Yeah, that was one time. Frank has used that for like 8 intros. You think it happens every day? It was just one time I got mad at somebody. Day before yesterday, you got mad at
somebody. No, well, last night, it's just so stupid. These guys were arguing after I tweeted out, listen, if not for Jordan's thumb, Yiner's sitting on the bench and a 113 hitter is in the lineup. There's only one person in the world that would have made out that lineup. One. And there was all kinds of response from it. And these guys would just started arguing with each other. Just like, whatever. You're stupid. No, you're stupid. Okay, whatever. Switching it up here for just a second. Astros won last night. They're a half game out of first place. And the Seattle won again. So they're just a half game back of the Astros. It's a tight race, just one game separating three
teams.
And
you do have, now, you also have lost series to Seattle and Toronto, so
you got to win by a game.
You got to win by a game.
Yeah, right. So you lose the tiebreakers to both those teams. So you got to beat them out. But you're going to beat, come on, this is stupid. The Astros are going to win. They're going to win. They're going to win the division. I've said this how many times? And they're going to win it going away from the Rangers. The Rangers, they suck. They can't hit. College Football Report put this out. Most talented college football teams of all time, according to Fox Sports. You guys want to take guesses?
I've already seen it, so don't.
You've already seen it?
I mean, it's got to be the Miami team from like 01.
Yeah, they're not on the list.
With the like the
top 5. They're not top 5.
Like with the 8 first round picks?
Yeah. Well,
no. You insulted him a little bit. You
got
a little
Reggie disciple. Wayne, Andre Johnson,
Santana Moss.
Are you kidding me?
No, Ed Reed, Sean Taylor was a backup on that team.
Yeah, it's unbelievable.
Vince Wilfork.
I mean,
these are literally.
Who was the tight end?
Oh, Jeremy Shockey. These are literal,
Winslow
and young Kellen Winslow. These are literal Hall of Famers on this team.
Yeah, right. Not on the list.
Okay, then. The ones that just come to my mind are USC 06.
Not on the list.
06 Texas, probably not on the list. Yeah, they're not as good as.
They got 06 Oklahoma.
Ohio State 01?
Ohio State 15.
Okay.
That's the Zeke? No, Zeke was.
Yeah, yeah. They won the title. Yeah, Bosa's. You had Bosa. You had Zeke because they were tight.
Oh, yeah, Zeke was back for a year after they won the title.
Yeah, Zeke. You had Zeke. You had Bosa. Yeah, I'd have to think about
it. Well, what teams had the most draft picks ever?
LSU, 19 LSU.
Not on the list. 20. What? 20 Alabama. What about 20 Alabama? Not on the list.
Okay, who's on the? Okay, who made this list?
It's Fox Sports.
Okay, who's the writer?
2007. No, I think it was a compilation of all of them or whatever. They voted or whatever. 2017 Alabama Crimson Tide is number one.
Okay, I don't know immediately.
Well, here's a picture of the wide receivers. Waddle, Ruggs, Smith, and Judy.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Pretty good.
And that's Tua and Jalen Hurts both on that team.
Yep.
Good running backs.
86 Hurricanes.
Derrick
Henry was on that team.
He was on 17?
Okay.
That's pretty good.
Did they win? No. Yeah, he won the title running all over Clemson in 15. No, he wasn't on 17.
No, he was on 16. No, I don't think he was on 17.
But it doesn't matter. They had great running.
They were cranking out good running backs regardless.
86 Hurricanes is second. That was Alonzo Highsmith's team.
That's Michael Irvin, Vinny.
They didn't even win it. They lost to Vinny Testaverde.
Yeah, but that
Vinny Testaverde lost that game.
That team was loaded. I don't know that they're more loaded than 0-1 Miami, but okay.
Yeah, the a couple corrections. The 0-1 Miami team didn't have Reggie Wayne. He graduated in 2000 with Santana Moss. It did have Andre, Clinton Portis, not who else? Willis McGahee. Who got hurt?
2000 and 2001 was loaded. Both those years,
they were so good. Clinton Portis was so good on that team. Willis McGahee had to play fullback in the national title game because Clinton Portis wasn't giving up that spot. So, Bryant McKinney was on that team.
Frank Gore
was hurt, but was on that team.
Yeah,
they had McGahee, Portis, and Gore on the same team at one time.
That's ridiculous. They got 2021 Georgia next.
Okay, yeah.
That was pretty good.
Ton of NFL
good.
Players, yeah.
Pretty good.
A little recency, though.
15, Ohio State, and 2006, Oklahoma.
You have to tell me who was on 2006, Oklahoma. Just off the top of my head, I'm sure they were really good. But, man, not having 19 LSU, that's maybe they're utilizing, you know, like Clyde Edwards-Helaire has not been as good. Maybe they're using that against them, the pro stuff. But, man, you got Justin Jefferson, Ja'Marr Chase, Joe Burrow right off the bat. You got to think that's pretty good. And I'm not even getting to Lloyd Cushenberry was a third-round pick at Denver, I think, at center. You had defensively Stingley, who hasn't turned out to be anything yet. But you had Grant Delpit. You had
Devin White. Was he on that team?
Devin White was the absolute.
It was ridiculous.
Oh, no.
Devin White. How many guys? They had 19 guys drafted, right?
No, Devin White wasn't on that team, I don't think. Was he? He might have been.
I mean,
he was in a 19 draft, Devin White.
Then he wouldn't have been on the team.
So he wouldn't have been on a 19 team.
2006 had Oklahoma Sooners had Trent Williams.
Yeah, that's good.
Yeah. Darian Williams. Paul Thompson was the core. What? This is.
Who are the wide receivers?
Reggie Smith was the defensive back.
What is that? What are we doing here?
It's unbelievable. I mean, how in the world is this team? This is the team that lost to Boise, right?
Let me look it up.
Because
no, Marshall Murray.
No, they went 11-3. They probably did lose to Boise.
This is the Gerald McCoy. Okay. Pretty good.
Yeah, they lost to Boise State.
They lost
Paul
to Boise.
Paul
Thompson was their quarterback.
How are they putting this team in there?
I have no idea.
Forget the fact that they're losing. Well, is it based on talent or all-time team? It's got to be based on talent.
It can't be all-time
team. It says talent. Most talented.
This is outlandish.
This is,
why are you wasting?
You're
wasting
our time.
We could be talking about Coin Boys.
We could be talking about DuPoint.
We could talk about DuPoint, Coin Boys.
How is Fox Sports so off on this?
Maybe because it's a Big 12 slant? Because they have Big 12 games, but even
still.
Well,
then pick Texas.
Well,
2006.
Well, they're not in the Big 12 for another year. Oklahoma's not in the Big 12 after this year, too, right?
Adrian Peterson was there in 6. He was a rookie in 7.
Sure, that's one guy.
Pretty good guy.
Sure, but.
I know, but.
Murray was there,
too. Murray and Peterson, the same team's pretty strong.
But when your
Paul
quarterback
Thompson
is
was
Paul
an amazing
Thompson.
Talent.
No, he wasn't.
Oh.
Yeah, Gerald McCoy was good.
McCoy was good. They had some talent.
Curtis Lofton.
Who are the DBs?
Yeah, Rufus Alexander.
Who are the DBs?
Quinn Carter made the NFL. Nick Harris made the NFL for a little bit. No, he was he was early on. It's a team who had NFL players. But
oh, no, wait. Yeah, Roy was the Chris Sims years.
Yeah, but this is not a – Jermaine Gresham was on the team as a freshman. But
this is a silly article.
It's Fox – You lost all credibility.
Thank you. And if John's saying that, then you should be embarrassed.
Yeah, you're embarrassed. You're embarrassing yourself.
Says,
2019, LSU not on there. Or, listen, 2020, Alabama was just as talented. How many guys did they have drafted?
Well, you could have gone with a bunch of Alabama teams on that thing. That doesn't make it any fun.
No.
When some of those are carryover. Like, you can't do certain Alabama teams with too many of the same players.
Right. Well, but they.
Unless
they
you want to do it that way.
Was 17 with that receiving core the best?
It's the best receiving core that I've ever seen. LSU, the only thing that stops it is LSU had two amazing top-end talents. The best top-end talents that you'll ever see relative to what they do in the pros. I mean, we're talking about Chase and Jefferson. Might end up being the best wide receivers in the AFC and NFC on the same team. Then you had Randy Moss's son, who really was just a guy who was Randy Moss's son. He was not that.
Yeah, no.
Thaddeus Moss wasn't that great. But – those two guys in and of themselves. But, man, you talk about Judy, Ruggs. Ruggs was unguardable. The speed was – and then he had Waddle and Devontae Smith. That's – what? No. Devontae Smith, Waddle, Ruggs, and Jerry Judy on the same team? That's what made grading Tua so hard for me that year, because all he had to do was throw to a guy in a crease, and it was a wrap. And I'm like, well, this isn't what the NFL is going to be like. And then he got Tyreek Hill and Jerry Judy.
And Jalen Waddle.
And Jalen Waddle. So I'm like, hey, maybe he can be a pro quarterback.
Well, David says they had Marvin Stubblefield and Nashawn Glenn on those teams.
There's no such player as Marvin Stubblefield or a Nashawn Glenn. While he is very good at coming up with fake names,
I can
sniff him out every time.
What about the Miami team in 2000 had Moss, Hall of Famer, Reggie Wayne, Hall of Famer, Shockey, developing, and Andre Johnson as a backup.
That 2000 team?
The 2000 team. That was their wide receiver core.
Wow.
That's pretty good.
Pretty good. Pretty good. 713-780. And who was the quarterback?
Oh, it's just Ken Dorsey.
Yeah, Ken Dorsey.
He was a good college quarterback.
Yeah.
He's Stetson Bennett.
Yeah. He had a cup of coffee, too.
Yeah.
By the way, I'm watching the misplay, watching the double by Singleton in the corner and then the misplay outfield. Did you see the goofball defense again by the Red Sox yesterday?
They're so bad.
Oh my gosh. You couldn't throw straight to home plate. They screwed up a double play. And they ended up actually getting hurt by their mistakes too.
Yeah.
It ended up leading to runs.
They just couldn't. Devers is awful.
Man.
I mean, Devers is awful at third base. How would you like to watch that every night? Just going, oh my gosh, if you could just catch the ball. I mean, it's not like the Astros. The Astros lead the league in unearned runs. They make their mistakes, no question about it, but they make great plays as well. The Red Sox are just bad. It's just bad. Maybe they need some kinetics, QC kinetics.
Well, I'm not giving them to them. Hopefully they won't treat them while they're in Houston. I mean, I know they will because they're not going to withhold anything, but if there's been lots of baseball players, basketball players, football players who have gone through the regenerative process that QC Kinetics uses. They are able to work with people who have a lot of pain in their joints, whether it's knee, hip, shoulder, back. These are just some of the common areas, ankles. It can be because of arthritis. It can be because of the deterioration of tissue in the joints. What happens when you lose that tissue or it's deteriorating, you are going to have pain, and you're going to have chronic pain. That's when it flares up with chronic pain. How do you solve that? Well, you can get sometimes there are surgeries. You get to the point where you need a surgery, but that has the pain medicine and the downtime away from work. You've got shots, but that's going to be a temporary solution. QC Kinetics can be a permanent solution for you. They can strongly reduce the level of pain that you have because they regenerate and restore that damaged tissue. You can go from an 8 down to a 1 from a pain standpoint, just like one of my listeners found whenever he went to QC Kinetics. My wife is going to be, she's running again. She had a 17-mile run the other day. It's an unbelievable opportunity for you to get away from that chronic pain and get back to the mobility and the lack of pain that you once enjoyed. 4 locations around the Houston area. Call today, 713-913-5285. That's 713-913-5285.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. You're hooked up with it.
Toss a coin to your witcher.
John plus Lance equals a damn good start to your day. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, it's John and Lance.
Hey, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. 713-780-3776 is the number. 713-780-3776. If you would like to get in here to hang out with us as the Astros win, that's the big story. Do you have the thing I sent? I DM'd you. Do you have that? Okay. Oh my God, I'm blinking. And his name, who was the ESPN?
Mark DeRosa?
No. This is about the Texans. You didn't get that one? Oh, no, I got that. That was yesterday. Anyway, we'll do that next segment. We'll get that done. Astros win last night and are a half game out right now. And are, just a half game ahead of Seattle as they won again. Texas loses again. They lost in Arizona. Six straight losses.
How many straight wins is that for Seattle?
Seattle is at eight.
Are they up that high?
Yeah. I believe they're at eight straight. Whatever the case may be, they're just a half a game behind our Houston Astros. They're playing great baseball. The Astros, you know, they didn't look good. They bounced back on Sunday against the Mariners, which was nice after falling behind 6-0, but they couldn't get over the top. But the Astros are not playing bad baseball. They just are half a game. This is coming down to the wire. This is going to be a good race. But just a half game now between them and Texas, who everybody thought, well, you can't catch Texas.
Yes, you're right. Seattle has won eight in a row. And six in a row lost by.
You got it?
Six lost by Texas. Texas still, the run differential is still at plus 181, which I believe is still the best in base. No, 207 is the best with Atlanta.
So different teams are going about it. Let's talk Texans. Different teams are going about different things, different quarterback situations differently. Like the Colts have named Anthony Richardson already. The Panthers have named Bryce Young. He is going to be their guy. Baker Mayfield just got announced yesterday. He's going to be the guy.
You should be announcing by now.
But you would think. You would think by now. Other coaches have said, well, we're going to take our time. Like Arizona, it looks like Clayton Tune is going to start. Clayton Tune is going to get the start.
That can't be real
over
life.
Colt McCoy. Yeah.
Really?
Yeah. It looks like that's a real possibility.
They're tanking.
Do what?
They're tanking.
They're tanking?
They're tanking.
No, oh, well, they're tanking. Well,
let's start
Colt McCoy is 11-25 as a starter. So
what? Colt McCoy's a pro. If you want Case Keenum in, Colt McCoy is an NFL quarterback. He's been there. You're literally taking a rookie from the fifth round?
Yeah.
And starting him? No, not to say that he can't maybe beat out Colt McCoy, but that feels like this is a team who we already think is going to be the worst. I would say this would lock it in. And that's no disrespect to to Clayton Tune as much as it is. He is a rookie later day three pick. Yeah. I mean, they're going to be the worst team in football.
You could say that about Brock Purdy too.
But there's talk about Kyler Murray coming back. I don't bring Kyler Murray back, and then I draft his replacement.
Yeah, well, yeah, right. Kyler, you're going to sit. We don't need. We want you for the future, Kyler. Except we're going to take that guy with the first pick, Caleb Williams with the first pick.
So in your scenario where they play Clayton Tune and they continue to play Clayton Tune, maybe they throw in Colt McCoy at the end and don't play Kyler Murray. Who Kyler Murray's not played football for a year plus. What's his value? What are they getting for Kyler Murray?
I don't know.
And that's plus that contract?
One. Yeah.
That's a hard one. I don't know. That's always going to be like, this is why you don't give contracts to players you don't believe in, because eventually it can bite you.
Yeah.
You got to believe in the guy, at least to an extent. Like, Dallas probably didn't love giving Dak that much, but I think they believed in him enough. My thing is, did you believe in, like, right now, do the Vikings believe in Kirk Cousins? Forget all the feel-good stuff with Kirk Cousins. We've seen it. I love all the stuff he does. But his contract is up. Do you go in another 3 years with Kirk Cousins and go with devil you know over devil you don't? Because Kirk Cousins is consistent. He works well in the offense. He's a pretty good quarterback. But he has a glass ceiling he can't seem to break through. Do you go with that glass ceiling, or do you take your chance with a younger quarterback?
The
Colts kept trying to.
Can you get him for just a couple of years, or do you have to? Does this have to be a long?
Well, I think another team would probably give him 4 years easily. He's not a quarterback who's probably going to go anywhere anytime soon.
What do you think of Jaren Hall?
Well, I mean, I like Jaren Hall fine, but not like.
Is he going to be the quarterback of the
star status? Well, that's what I mean. They'd be drafting quarterback.
Oh, okay.
They'd have to, if you make that decision, you draft a quarterback. And Minnesota just wasn't in a position to draft a quarterback this year. I think they might have considered it. Plus, it wasn't a very good quarterback draft.
This draft is going to be good.
Wasn't very deep. This one appears to be deep. Yeah. So do you go with, like, the Vikings have a very real question. But you know, right from the very beginning, Arizona was thinking, man, this guy doesn't even study. He doesn't spend any time on his tape. He plays video games. We're going to put this in the contract. Well, then it got leaked. Then he took a bunch of heat. They took it out. And guess what? They said behind the scenes, there is a coach told my dad that it was like worse than it's ever been. They thought it might be better They thought it might be better with him.
This is a Johnny situation then.
Yeah, they thought it might be better, and it's not any better over there with Kyler. Mm. It got worse once he got his contract. You thought he might get shamed into, you know, putting more time in or working or whatever. Now he's out, and you're right. If they draft another – if they don't believe in him now, then you try to get rid of him. And if you try to get rid of him, who's going to take him for that money? I don't know.
The money and the pain in the ass, it doesn't bode well.
But this is for all quarterbacks. You don't have to be a pain in the ass. It's like if you know a quarterback's not good enough, it's the Schaub effect or Jimmy Garoppolo. If at one point basically San Francisco said, we know he's not good enough to get where we want to go, so we're going to make an aggressive move for Trey Lance. Now, it doesn't look like it's working out. But I give him credit for trying to do something when they felt like they couldn't reach their ultimate goal with that quarterback.
Hey, just like Washington with Robert Griffin III, you know what? They had a backup plan. They had a backup plan with the Mr. Irrelevant and Brock Purdy, and it's working out. So who cares if you did all of that with Trey Lance? You got a quarterback that you believe in. It's not the way you thought it was going to work out, but at least it's working out. With the Texans, we'll see if it works out. Here's Dan Orlovsky talking about the Texan situation right now with C.J. Stroud.
We've seen that out route a couple times to his left. I think it's to Robert Woods. If you watch the ball and don't know who it came from, it looks like Burrow. Just the pace of the football, how catchable it is. Also, the ball that it goes to his right and scratch. Like, this is a really good slant. He reads it inside out. This is kind of that grouping of pass plays. This is a beautiful throw. Like, if you didn't know this came from C.J. Stroud, you'd say, like, oh, that looked like Joe Burrow throwing that. Just how catchable and easy it is for guys. It's effortless for him, and it's effortless for the other guys. I think the two things that I liked the most were he got pressured once, knew the hot, and got it out, completed. And then there was another time he starts all the way to his left and comes all the way back to his right to number four in the progression and pins it on the back's chest. Remember New England game, he looked a little confused.
Yeah.
Like, I got a lot. This game, it was like, oh, I know, I'm going through it like a typewriter almost.
Dan, this brings me back to your pre-draft tape. In your pre-draft tape, you talked about the way that he can efficiently locate the ball on all three levels.
Yeah.
And that's a little bit of what we've seen. We haven't seen him push it down the field yet, which is something I believe that they'll get to. But watching him operate short to immediate last week was really who C.J. Stroud is. And I think that what you said about the ball being catchable is also a huge piece.
You know, like, it's 2 weeks, but you don't see receivers stretching for a ton. Yeah. You don't have to see them turning back to it. Like, those two balls are perfectly placed right here. That's easy for guys.
A lot of what I pay attention to, too, is y'all was talking about Urban Meyer and Trevor Lawrence and how that interaction was going on the sideline.
Right?
Yeah. When Trevor Lawrence was struggling, it was like, what are you doing? When you see C.J. walk off the field, they've handed him the keys to the franchise.
Yeah.
D'Amico is always empowering him, telling them next play. Like, those things go a long way, too, with these guys' confidence when they trying to get better and know that this type of pressure is going to be on them.
And I think the player you kind of hinted him being is like that surgeon inside of 15 yards is what his career is going to be.
Hopefully.
He has that kind of precision. Like, he really does. That's not –
And what do you agree with the catchable ball?
Yeah, totally. He's got a very catchable ball, and he puts it. So let's say the player's on the move. I'll give you an example. This is one that just drives me crazy with like Will Levis, Anthony Richardson. They had a big trouble with this. Bryce Young's just very average at this. But if you have for example, a swing pass where you got a moving target, CJ can locate moving target and throw to the momentum. So you catch it and you don't have to break stride. And that's such a big deal, because if a player can catch a ball in stride, the difference between a 25-yard catch and an 8-yard catch can be whether or not a player in motion catches a ball in stride or if they have to break stride, allowing the defender to close on them. And C.J. Stroud really does do that. These Burrow comparisons, though, I mean, Dan Orlovsky really loves the good feelings and good tides of promoting a quarterback that he knows is popular, and he gets the likes for that. So, like, I always, you know, he's hyperbole based. There's no question. But I think a lot of what he says about C.J. Stroud, there's a lot of truth in terms of, I think that's a huge strength of his, is his location, ball location and accuracy, and his ability to be precise in those areas. Absolutely agree with that. And I think a big key is going to be, can Slowik get to simple reads for him, because all quarterbacks need to have the fewer, like Joe Burrow had an offense where he could make a simple read at LSU. He obviously can make more complex reads, but one of the things that made that offense great is you're able to read a safety or read the way that the cornerback is playing and or the way where his hips were, what kind of leverage he had, and then he would make a throw based on that. If you can get your offense to a point where you simplify the read for CJ as a rookie, that's really going to determine whether or not he can be a plus quarterback this year. He's got enough arm strength, he's got enough mobility, and he's a plus accuracy thrower. So, you know, the only consideration that concerns me is, does he make the decisions quickly?
Mm-hmm.
And does he handle adversity well? Because let's face it, he didn't face a lot of adversity at Ohio State. This is kind of a norm for high-end, for quarterbacks coming out of Alabama, Ohio State. It doesn't mean you can't face it. You just didn't face a lot of adversity in college.
Yep. That clip you pulled from NFL Live, Ryan Clark was the second voice you heard. He had something else to say about quarterbacks. A little less analytical.
Oh, my God.
We can play it on the other side.
Right. Yeah. And Ryan Clark and crossed the line on this one. John's going to love it.
Right. He's going to love it, and he got lit up by defenders of a certain quarterback.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't want to say it.
All right.
I saw that Twitter go after
him. Let's go on the other side. We'll do that. But right now we're talking about John Daspit.
John Daspit Law Firm. Hey, so talked to John yesterday, and he gets really busy with – he was sworn in New Mexico. He's got an office there, and he's branching out and expanding because the success he's had in the state of Texas has been just unbelievable. And he's already looking at doing – he's got different billboards you're going to see with the University of Houston football team. He's working on doing stuff in the with elementary schools, with trading cards, with the Cougar football team. He's got the entire team on a on an NIL deal. And there's some really cool stuff he's doing that I think shows his willingness to work with the community and give back to the community. He's someone who went to high school here, did his college, went to undergrad at Texas, got his law degree at University of Houston. He is involved in the community in all facets, including helping people who have been injured. And if you've been badly injured, through no fault of your own, of course, then John Daspit's there to help you. He will help you with getting the settlement that you deserve to take care of all the issues that you're going through, whether it's medical bills, time off, or even pain and suffering. And he will fight for you no matter what it takes to stand up to those lawyers from the insurance company that are really trying to put the squeeze on you. John Daspit is your guy. 713-CALL-NOW is the phone number. Easy to remember. 713-CALL-NOW or go to DaspitLaw.com.
Rent my porch this weekend on selflist.com.
You're back in the Veritex Community Bank Studios with John Granato and Lance Zerline.
All right, welcome back here on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. John and Lance here with you at 713-780-3776. Okay, so what did Ryan Clark do?
Well, as I talked about, you heard him give a very analytical breakdown of one C.J. Stroud yesterday.
Correct.
So we all heard that. We heard some great points from him and Dan Orlovsky. Now, the story, or at least his commentary, changed regarding a particular quarterback that we saw on Saturday afternoon. No, not Davis Mills.
Tua.
Not Skylar Thompson. Yes, Tua. So Ryan Clark went after the guy who has the most offenders on Twitter in all of pro sports, at least in the NFL. This is his, these are his comments, and we can get into what other people said to Ryan Clark, including to a personal trainer who didn't appreciate it and let Ryan Clark know he didn't appreciate it.
Hey. 5-for-7, 61 yards, and an interception. So a rocky start to the game for Tua right there.
Tua when he got them tats.
Yeah, he did. Tua said, full sleeve.
Y'all think I've been hurt. I ain't tough. I'm gonna tell you
what he wasn't doing. He wasn't in the gym.
Wow.
I bet you that.
Come on,
he wasn't with me.
He might have spent a lot of time at the tattoo parlor.
He was not at the dinner table eating what the nutritionist had advised.
Oh, my. Hmm.
He looked happy.
Okay.
He is thick.
He's thick.
A little thick. He's built like a girl working at Onyx in Atlanta right now on the bottom.
Come on now.
Hey. Get to the show.
Am I allowed to ask you?
Okay.
That's a little over the line. He's basically saying he has a stripper booty. He's called him thick.
Has he got dumped?
He said a girl who works at Onyx.
I was at the game, so I didn't see.
At what point would that ever be allowed to talk about a quarterback? Right? Like, Ryan, if he were a player, he would lose his mind if somebody talked about a player like that from the media. Yes or no?
Yeah,
how disrespectful that is to talk about an NFL player when you're in the media. But Ryan, I get that people think it's funny, and it is kind of funny, but it's also a level of disrespect for an athlete that you would think another athlete would not do. On a serious note, to say that he's – now, you want to say he's like, I don't think he's in shape or whatever. He called him literally a stripper at Onyx. You want to talk about somebody who showed – that shows me he has zero respect for Tua. Zero. Or he would never – as a person. Or he would never say something that demeaning to him. Never. Ryan Clark's lost my respect. I saw Ryan Clark. He had one set of rules for Baker Mayfield's social media, stupid social media crybaby stuff that he did when he was with the Browns. And then he thought it was hilarious what Deshaun Watson was doing with his social media crybaby stuff with the Texans. Dude, keep the same energy on both your quarterbacks, first of all, if you want me to have respect for you. Don't have a separate set of rules for Baker Mayfield where you're the quarterback of this team. You do not need to be doing stuff like this. You need to be a leader and quit causing problems. And then Deshaun doing future lyrics and where he was trying to get out of Houston, he thought that was hilarious and played it up. You can't do Tua like this. You cannot. Like, I get that it's supposed to be funny and all that, but that is, man, is that demeaning for a quarterback like Tua.
So the response came from Nick Hicks, who's Tua's personal trainer. He showed a picture of Tua. I don't know if this was at, I think it's at probably Dolphins camp. I don't think he was, this is with the joint practice of the Texans. He goes, very strange preference in exotic dancers. And he asks Ryan Clark, I for one do not enjoy them looking like elite football players. And Ryan Clark responded, well, Nick, as a person that's heard that joke about himself based on his glutes a ton, I was having some fun. Tua is certainly thick in his glutes and lower extremities. Also, like a ton of quarterbacks, not particularly lean. I was having some fun because, hell, it's TV. As someone who played 13 years and has trained like you, many elite performers, all pros and pro bowlers, I get locker room jokes. It's one that's been told many times, but I'm all for sensitivity too. God bless. And then Ryan, then the personal trainer responds with this. Ryan, it was a bad joke, bro. It was honestly three bad jokes in a row, almost as if you had them in your hand ready to go. That's strange behavior coming from a quote-unquote football analyst. Own that. Don't make excuses. And that's probably the nicest thing Ryan Clark heard all day, because at least Nick Hicks has got a stake. Dolphins Twitter ripped him to shreds. Now he probably doesn't care, but he had to deal with them all day.
Yeah, I don't know. He was joking. I mean, he wasn't disrespectful, yeah.
I don't know.
I was at the game. I didn't see his dunk. Is he thick?
Tua, since he's been in the NFL, has had to put on weight, and he's worked on his lower body. Now, the trainer would say that's all good weight.
Yeah.
Now, Ryan Clark certainly made it look like, or sounded like it was bad weight. So, that's probably the biggest issue with the trainer. We worked on that, and that's all because he was in the gym, not because he was sitting at a dinner table. He's thicker lower body. But
yeah. I mean, did he work on it and get that way with work?
Yes,
or did he
that's what the trainer...
Was it with a knife and fork?
No, the trainer's going to say that's with weights, right, not with a knife and fork.
Yeah.
So that's where the issue would come from.
We're all so sensitive.
Well, I just think...
Made a stripper reference.
I just think that Ryan Clark is a guy who is, you know, gets all upset when guys in the draft have the character stuff and you have to bring up things that are actual factual news. He loses his mind about something like that. But Ryan Clark will basically compare a quarterback that he doesn't like or he doesn't care about. Like, are you going to say the same thing with C.J. Stroud? If C.J. starts gaining a bunch of weight, are you going to say the same thing about Bryce Young riding on a tricycle or something like that? You know, make a tricycle joke. Whee! He just picks and chooses if he likes you or has an affection with. Because he's tied to an agent.
You think that's a black and white thing?
No. Oh. I don't think it's a black and white thing. I think Ryan, it's a do you like him? Does he have enough? Like, he's got agents. So I think his agent is Mulgeta. So he defends, and CJ's a Mulgeta guy, by the way. You'll never see Mulgeta guys, Deshaun Watson. You'll never see these guys ever in the line of fire with him. But he just, like, to me, I would typically laugh about that. But the more I thought about it, man, Tua takes a lot of. Tua's taken a lot of bullets over the last 3 years, a lot. And you know, he went through all the concussion stuff, which is a separate deal. But I just feel like for one player to go after another player like that, and it's one thing to say he's thick or he's been attacking the dead. That's something like Charles would say. I think Ryan's trying to be like Charles Barkley. Because now that I think about it, would it upset me if Charles Barkley said that about somebody?
No. It would not. It would not. And that's why I'm
I might not.
Maybe it's because of the source.
But that's who Charles has always been.
Yeah, maybe it's
Charles keeps it 100 all the time.
Yeah, right.
If you were, Charles is going to say the same.
He doesn't discriminate.
He's not sanctimonious here.
Right.
But then he's going to take jokes at another guy's expense here. Charles is also he's also very self-deprecating. Right? He's in on the joke about himself.
No,
He's in on the joke about himself, not Ryan Clark. Ryan Clark gets very sensitive about stuff like that. So I think that's the big difference is if you're consistent with who you are, well, that's fine.
Mm-hmm.
That's fine. But I don't think he is consistent. I've seen the inconsistencies. And I think calling a quarterback a stripper when you go after other people who you don't think show the property, go after Stephen A. Smith years ago for not being respectful to football players, that kind of strikes me as hypocritical.
Yeah.
That's my biggest problem. I don't like hypocrites, and I don't like people who are inconsistent and pick and choose when they want to act a certain way. I have no respect for that.
Yeah.
That's probably, it is a joke. I mean, there's some humor in it. If it's just me and John talking, I'd laugh about it. But I think that I could see where Tua would be a little sensitive about it, and Dolphins fans too.
Yeah. Well, Tua.
Probably what if somebody called you a stripper? What if somebody said you look like you work at Onyx?
Say you were thick and looked like a stripper from the bottom half.
I don't know. I'd say.
What if Yanni said it about you?
See, Yanni, now that's different. Yanni could, I mean, I think I've called him a stripper before. He's
broke down stripper?
Yeah, not like one of the good strippers.
Late stage stripper.
Yeah, no, early morning.
2 p.m.
stripper. Yeah, I got you.
Yeah, right. Like not 10 a.m.
Lunch. Not going home at 12.
Brunch hour stripper?
Going home at 6? Like Waffle House
Yanni's
stripper?
Yanni's a brunch hour stripper?
Yanni got a bunch of calls yesterday about what I said. Like, there's no swingers' wives that would go, oh, I got to get me some Yanni.
Why does Yanni keep taking the
bullets? Yanni's catching
all these bullets.
Couldn't
you use somebody else?
Because John likes to go after Yanni.
I kind of do. No, it's right there. I mean, I love it. I love that part of it. And he got no retort. He can't do anything about it. I love that. He can't do anything. But you can do something about your patio.
Yeah, I mean, it's a phone call. It's really, I think it's visiting the website. You can make a phone call, but if you go to the website at texascustompatios.com, I wonder if they have my they just finished the video that their team shot of the new kitchen that they put into my location, but my outdoor patio. Go to texascustompatios.com, and you can see they build patio covers, outdoor living rooms, ceilings and columns, their outdoor fireplaces, decorative patios, outdoor kitchens. There's an entire group of, 12 different things that they're building, and you can go look at before and after pictures with all of them. There's another section there that says our process. To me, if you're serious about getting this outdoor kitchen or outdoor patio or even a swimming pool, go to the process, our process, and read the entire thing with the initial visit, the designing, the pricing, the proposal. They are very transparent. They set you a price. It never changes. Even when they need to make changes to what they did or they're not happy with one of the columns or whatever, that comes out of their pay. It comes out of what they have charged, and that's how they do business. They want you to have a great experience and have a great patio or outdoor living space built for you, and they do that every time. Go to the website and go look at the before and afters. You'll be really impressed. But go to texascustompatios.com. Make sure you click our process at the top and see how they can get started in making your life better. It's texascustompatios.com.
Quit living paycheck to paycheck. Be your own boss on selfless.com.
Back to the Veritex Community Bank Studios and your daily distraction from the horrific reality of your very existence. Man, I didn't know it was that bad. But hey, it's John and Lance.
Despite Lance's objections, week zero is just right around the corner. And we got tickets to give away for a week one matchup featuring the University of Houston as they take on the UTSA Roadrunners as we celebrate the inaugural game in Houston's first Big 12 season. It'll be caller 11, caller 12, honoring the Big 12. Caller 12 at 9 o'clock. at 9 o'clock to 713-780-3776. Wins a pair of tickets to the University of Houston game on Saturday, September 2nd. You can also get a family four-pack, four tickets, four hot dogs and chips, four sodas for just $60 as well. Go to That's, by the way, the sodas are part of the package. They're not charging you $6 for four sodas. Go to uhcougars.com/tickets or call 713-GO-COUGS to get your tickets today. Tickets also start at just $20. Caller 12 at 9 o'clock for those tickets to UH versus UTSA.
9 o'clock exactly?
Yes, 9 o'clock exactly.
Nine o'clock exactly. Call in. You get those tickets to University of Houston. Looking forward to it. UTSA, first game here after a tough one there last year. Overtime game. Hopefully the defense. I was out there on Friday, and then Saturday night they had a scrimmage, and the defense is looking a lot better. The offense was destroying them, which is a little unusual. Although I will say this, you're going to see this offensive line is big. This offensive. Oh, I saw our guy out there, Rue.
Did you
told him to come on in and come out? He's the he's the tackle for the University of Houston.
Big, long-armed guy, yeah.
Yeah.
They do have good – the physical traits are good at Houston right now.
No, they got a couple of – their offensive line. I was like, holy crap.
Patrick Paul's the guy who's going to get some attention.
Yeah, Patrick Paul, I met him.
He's also very impressive when you talk to him. Yeah. He and Rue both are.
He absolutely is. Both of them are. Those bookends are going to be good this year. Stay healthy, and I think that's where they're
– Ruben's going to be a sports talk host one day.
Yeah. They're good. I don't think they're deep. So those guys, they got to stay healthy. But the offensive line is going to be good. They've had a problem with the defense the last few days. So the defense should be ahead of every team, right? Which was a little, the defense was good against the Patriots. And boy, it got back to really, really bad against the Dolphins. That defensive line, that defensive front.
And if you do have a concern, it would be that the Dolphins were playing without Teron Armstead, an offensive line in flux that they still have questions about, and they had their way running the football.
That was the scariest thing about it, because that's where the Texans got killed last year, the year before, like one of the worst run defenses in NFL history. So we got to that's what's got to click. Now, they don't game plan. I mean – but you want to win your battles, right? You want to win your one-on-ones.
Yeah.
I mean, I know the Dolphins weren't scheming either. You're just running plays. You're just trying to get through it. You're trying to see who can win battles. And the Texans lost battles. They lost all their battles. So that's a little bit concerning. I don't care who's out there. You know, win your battle. Hold up against your man and stop the run. But to be run all over the way that they were, that's a little concerning. What's not concerning right now, the way that Justin Verlander pitched, he went on. We played a long quote.
What's the opposite of concerning? Comforting?
It was comforting.
It was.
It was comforting.
I'm walking out of there like, I came out of that game after the way he pitched just thinking, oh my gosh, I think he's back.
How about
the coin is spoken?
We heard it's a long and thoughtful process. For those of you who weren't with us, Justin Verlander talked about he's been working on his mechanics, and he felt like he's loading right. He's behind the ball. He felt this is the best he felt. This is his quote: "I'm always thinking pitching. It's always on my mind. It's a little neurotic at times. You know when you're right, and I haven't quite felt like that this year until today. That's a great sign." Because his last outing, he wasn't Justin Verlander.
Mm-hmm.
We're like, what the heck? Oh, my goodness. What did you give up? And, this is scary because the starting pitching has been off a 4.85. A 4.85 for the starting pitching over the last month. That's awful for the starters.
Over August?
Yeah.
Ugh.
So this has been – holy crap. Justin Verlander pitching like that.
That was vintage Verlander, really. And what I love is he self-corrected. He talked about in the soundbite, he talked about the fact that he basically just went and worked, was tweaking on some mechanical stuff. And he talked about the way he loaded, his load, which is how he gets into his windup and weight load. And then how he stayed behind the pitch, which you'll hear pitchers talk a lot about that. But having somebody, it's just like a golfer. Pitchers are a lot like golfers, a lot like shooters in basketball. Guys who can self-analyze, they can self-correct between starts. They can self-correct in a game. If you're a, you know, the golfers who are able to figure it out are less likely to get into prolonged slumps. Pitchers who can figure it out can get back to their, you know, to if they know what they're looking for, they can get back to who they are. Shooters, it's the same thing. You'll have some things that are slightly off with your balance or, you know, how broad your base is or maybe, you know, something about your release. And I just love, I think it's so great that Justin Verlander laid it out. I thought it was really cool in the soundbite also that he didn't hold back and dumb it down for the guys who were recording the media. He told you from a baseball standpoint what he was doing and what he was looking at. He was very honest. He didn't say, you know, I'm just working on some things, tweaking some things, and I think I found something. He told you specifically some of the things he was working on, but the late life on his fastball, he had that outer portion fastball that had a little tail on it to left-handers. That's unhittable.
Yeah.
That's really, you can just spoil it. That's all you can hope to do is spoil that pitch. So, man, if that Verlander shows up and the question's going to be, does Dusty have the balls to pitch France over Javier? That's going to take balls. Now, clearly, if you didn't have the names behind him and you just looked at the stats, it would take no balls. You just say, pitch the best pitcher. But Javier has a history of being a phenomenal pitcher for you. But it's a relatively small sample size, and he's got a growing sample size of bad baseball.
Listen, J.P. France is your second best pitcher right now.
I know, but
Fromber's been awful.
But you don't – well, Fromber – it's Fromber and J.V. are your 1-2.
Yeah.
You know, probably maybe in JV. A different order, but
if,
who cares?
If J.V. continues to pitch like this and Fromber continues to struggle, it's J.V. 1.
You have to manufacture and maneuver that around. But J.P. – Fromber, but the question's going to become, how does, and this is not one, I'm not banging on Dusty, this is a hard decision.
No.
Do you go with the history?
No, he's
and
not
who
going
you,
to.
Or do you go with a rookie who's never been there?
Well, we'll see. Hey, listen, JP's got to pass Hunter Brown, too, by the way, because Dusty has a history with Hunter Brown, and Hunter Brown came in and gave up runs in the World Series, and what was it, a run or two in the World Series, and, you know, and he didn't go back to him. But J.P. France is a rookie, a true rookie. He doesn't have the history with Dusty with like Hunter Brown does. J.P. France, without question, has been the better of the two. And actually, he's been your best pitcher over these last couple of months, period. It's not even arguable. Your best pitcher. I don't know that Dusty – we'll see if he has it in him. We'll see if he has it in him to actually give J.P. France the ball. Now – playoffs are different than everything else. We don't know how J.P. France is going to respond. For J.P. France, though, getting up to the big leagues and performing the way that he has, it's been like the playoffs for him, right?
Yeah.
The pressure of making a big league team. Yeah, it's different. Obviously, it's different.
Well, if he internalizes it, it's different. If he's one of those rare, you know, rare guys who doesn't really feel pressure, then it's not. Because pressure is self-created.
Just making this team and then performing the way that he has. I love hearing Justin Verlander talk about how neurotic he is about pitching.
Mm-hmm.
I love that.
That's what you have to be.
That's right. And I hope
the main thing is the main thing.
I hope that rubs off on all of the
I
guys.
Hope he rubs off on all the on all guys. Guys.
On all
yeah.
of them.
Don't save that.
Yeah. I mean, somebody came after me. If Dusty wins the World Series, Granato's going to still going to be criticizing. Listen. Dusty.
Are you going to call him the worst back-to-back World Series manager?
I hope Javier. I hope Maldonado. I hope John Singleton. I hope all of them perform great. And if they do, then I'll talk about it. But Dusty has been questionable this year. He has been his lineups have been so questionable this year that I'm going to speak. I apologize. I'm going to question when it's questionable. If Dusty is great, we gave Dusty his props last year, didn't we? Loved what Dusty did last year.
Mm-hmm.
He managed unbelievably great.
He did.
But when you're in this battle right now we'll see how Dusty manages down the stretch here. If he gets to tightening up his lineups.
Just keep Yiner playing. Just keep your – he has one of the highest OPSs on the team. Just keep him going.
Let's go.
That's all.
All right, time for you to talk about tequila, though.
Maestro Dobell is the – you want to talk about the ace. You want to get the best going in your lineup, right, in your rotation. if you have a rotation of tequilas, Maestro Dobel should be leading it right off as the SP1, because I'll promise you right now, Maestro Dobel, the way that they're made, the craftsmanship that goes into it, the finish, the flavor profiles, made in Tequila, Mexico by 11 generations of tequila makers, it's unbelievable. And what's funny, ironically, is that there are some places where it's still harder to find. And it's huge in Mexico. It's growing and growing here in the States. But there are still some liquor stores that don't carry it. And if they don't carry it, you need to ask for it by name, because I promise you, if you're a tequila fan, you're going to love it. I don't care if you go with their standard silver or the smoked silver or the Cristalino, which is a category they created. You're going to find something that you absolutely love, and Maestro Dobel is going to be there for you to enjoy it. And they want you to put that bottle up on your shelf and put it in the rotation of your tequilas. Maestro Dobel, wherever fine liquors are sold, it's Maestro Dobel.
ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Sweet Sassy Molassie.
Sweet Sassy Molassie. Get out the checkbook and pay grandma for the rubdown as the Spurs beat the Heat.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.